así.
4K. Fantasy. It's a war.
It's a war.
Okay. Like pirating a video game is extremely easy. Yes. Like you don't need to be tech savvy to do it. It's rapid fire. It's fairly simple.
So right now for space, like if I wanted to play Space Marines for, I'm doing 30K, right?
Uh-huh.
I can print up a unit of 5 Space Marines in decent detail. Not even like the detail that I printed your guy, like better detail than the guy I printed your guy in about 5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
That's insane. It's like a whole sprue worth of guys. I'm not talking like, I'm talking legs, body, head, arms, gun, backpack,
sure,
accessories. It's there. Like, it's there. The GWs on those boards, they're doing copyright strikes on stuff that's too close. Not really. I mean, it's like, they're, I've seen them hit certain things and not hit other things where I'm kind of like, that's weird. That's almost identical. But I don't know if there's just enough difference that they can't. So,
well, they have a guideline that they have to follow because of the chapter house.
Because of chapter house. Yeah, yeah. They fucked themselves over.
They have an exact line that they can get to.
Yeah, pretty much. It's definitely on that line. But yeah, the resin printer, it's pretty insane what I can do with it. I'm looking at it and I'm like,
how many dildos have you made?
None. You don't want a resin dildo.
It's not for use. It's for display.
Oh, for display. Well, I guess if you're putting it that way.
Yeah.
There's enough penis marines on Thingiverse where I'm just like, I don't even send these to Steve because it's like, there's so many of them. It's literally like a big...
Are they a dick with power armor or are they a marine that just has his dick hanging?
No. It's a dick with power armor.
Ah, very good.
Yeah. Yeah. Like the banana marines or whatever have you. It's a giant penis.
The Emperor's banana hammocks.
Yeah. It's a giant penis in body armor. It's I can't do anything more than that.
Now that's a gene seed.
Ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba. God, that is like the ending of a hee-haw bit.
You can't do that on television.
But yeah, with the 3D printers, there's I subscribed to the Titanforge Patreon that they did, and you know, I love Titanforge, and they listen to the podcast. They like us. At least one of them does. I don't know. We don't speak in Polish, so I don't know how he understands us, but they're literally taking their files and they're putting it up per month. So the first month, I don't know if this is like because it's the first month or kind of going all out, but it's from their Japanese range. So you're getting the chick on the fish, the samurai, a couple samurai, a couple bowmen, an oni. Like you're getting like a smattering of the range, and it's like, this is just really cool. Mm-hmm. Like if I just wanted to paint like a random samurai with a katana, it's like, here, I got this file. Cool, perfect. And I think it's amazing, and I think that's a business model that a lot more companies should go to. For example, maybe Malifaux, or Privateer Press.
Malifaux.
I mean, you know, by the way, welcome to our 200th episode of Game Classy Podcast.
3D printed top hats.
3D printed top hats. And because I was thinking about this, I was like, what's something that we could talk about with 200 episodes? I mean, and we've been recording since 2012, and I kind of was thinking about, like, we talk about the rise and fall of, like, 16 different games.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, like, Malifaux is so huge right now. They take up so much shelf space in a game store, if the game store wants to carry Malifaux, that it's, like, it's impossible for a new game store to carry Malifaux. Because there's so much of it.
Yeah, the classic SKU bloat.
Yeah, there's too many SKUs. There's not enough wall space. And if it's a brand new game that you're bringing into your store, you don't know if you're going to have the player base to carry it.
Mm.
And it's ridiculous. So Malifaux has two choices. One, you could sell it online. You could sell your packages online. But then you have to deal with making the product. You have to, like, physical product. putting it in, creating the boxes, shipping it out, sending it to retail, and then retail has to sell it to you, right? Or you could just, because all the models are already 3D designed, sell the STLs for it, the files, and people could just print it at home. You just have to buy the STLs. And as I always say, it's like, the STLs, if you make them cheap enough, no one's going to share them. Like, you know, the Titanforge stuff. It's $10 a month, and if you get that much stuff... Oh, they have the giant dwarf Zeppelin, too, that they're put in there.
Oh, cool.
It's going to take fucking forever to print. I don't know if I'm even going to do it. But if it's cheap enough, well, I'm not going to share that. Go subscribe to the Patreon. You know, don't... You know, I'm not going to be a dick and share the files. Like, I'll make you one because, you know, why not? I'll make one for a friend. I already paid for it. I made it with my own printer, but I'm not going to sit there and give you the file.
I mean, I guess I could look at the file.
You could look at the file, but that's the thing, is like, it's cheap enough where I'm able to put that out there. So like, if Malifaux was like, hey, this month we're gonna put out this warband, it's gonna cost $15 for the files. You can print out all the stuff that you want, however many times you want. I don't give a shit. And there you go. It's cheap enough that you don't have to worry about it, and you have zero overhead. You're just paying for the design. It makes way more sense than most gaming models nowadays.
I mean, I think if you're drowning in the number of SKUs that Malifaux has, it's probably not a terrible idea.
And it's the same thing with Privateer Press. Privateer Press is
also
on,
has massive SKU bloat.
They're on edition 4, right? That's Privateer's edition 4. Is it 3?
I think it's still 3rd. They did a new edition yet.
Well, the edition that failed was 3, right?
Yeah.
So they did that, and they have so many fucking models. No game store is going to open up and carry them unless the guy is a Privateer Press like fanatic when he's opening the store, and he's like, I'm going to carry this game. And then he opens it up, and no one plays the game, and he's like, aww.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, like, if you have a miniatures game, it has to be tight for any game store to be worth stocking it, because in most cases, they're better off just like, instead of trying to have a privateer wall, just make it more GW stuff.
Or our Nulzers or you know, D&D stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Or like another guaranteed seller. And then, if anything else, there's other miniatures games that are the other miniatures games that are worthwhile, I think, are ones that are versatile / narrow. Like, for example, Conquest.
The
Last Argument of Kings.
Yes.
That we've talked about that game before several times. That is a game that they are, I think they're working on their fourth faction now.
Yeah.
But there aren't a lot of boxes for that game. Like, yeah. there just are not. There's the core box, and then each of the factions has, I think, one character box and then three units, and that's like done. Like, there's nothing more. So that is an extremely narrow space in your store to stock that game. And then in addition to that game being pretty good in itself, it also could work for other games.
That's the thing. I think that goes to...
Their Marauders are the best looking Marauders I've ever seen.
Well, it goes to the Age of Sigmar model, where it's every Age of Sigmar faction only has about like 4 boxes worth of stuff. You know, you have about 3 boxes of troops, or 5 boxes. So you have 2 to 3 boxes of troops. You have a character, and you have a big box, right? That's about it. Maybe you'll have a blister. Mm-hmm. But that's per range. So if you want to carry the new hotness in your store, you carry the last 3 that were dropped for Age of Sigmar, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then you just say, oh, you want to play this faction? Go buy it online, like you were going to do anyway. You're just coming here to look at it. Damn wiener kids. But yeah,
they are damn wiener kids.
I mean, that's another thing. So let's see. Since we started this podcast in 2012, it's almost been exactly 8 years. I think we're about 2 or 3 casts early from the 8-year anniversary of this podcast.
Good God,
I know. I know.
This is all your fault.
This is all my fault. So, Warhammer Fantasy Battles went from 8th edition and died. And came back as Age of Sigmar, and was like, everyone was like, I hate this game.
It was bad.
And then Age of Sigmar,
did a heel face turn.
Yeah, it did. It got really good, really, not really fast, but fast enough.
Yeah, it did a heel face turn.
Yeah, and now it's a good game.
It was Rocky Maivia, and everyone was booing, Rocky sucks, Rocky sucks. And then at one point, he took the little frills off of his beefy arms, turned to the camera, and lifted the eyebrow, and everyone was like, yay!
40K, I think, went from, I think it was like tail end of 6th. When we started the podcast, I think it went to 7th, and then now we're in 8th.
No, I think it was 5th, because I think we were at the tail end of the parking lot edition.
Were we really?
I think so. It's been a while. Don't quote me, please.
Well, I mean, because our first podcast, we were talking about the
brand new Vampire Accounts army book, and I believe I vehemently declared that T3 armies were not for me.
T3 armies are not for me. Let's see. History. Rulebook editions. Third edition came out in 98. Fifth was in 2008. Sixth came out in 2012. So it was the very tail end of fifth edition. Sixth edition came out in 2012. So we went through sixth, seventh, and eighth edition of 40K. Three fucking editions of 40K and three editions of fantasy, technically.
Yeah, technically.
I don't really consider Age of Sigmar 2.0 to be
the
a really
of,
new
the
edition.
End of fantasy and two editions of Age of Sigmar. We'll get that.
I really just don't think there's two editions of Age of Sigmar. I just don't see the much difference between the two.
They didn't change the core. They didn't change the core mechanics like they would frequently do with
fantasy.
They didn't tweak that, but they did add a lot.
Yeah, they did
things.
Yeah,
they did a better version. Like it again. It's a more improved edition. Like that. That was always the worst thing about fantasy. Like when they did new editions of fantasy, it was never tweaks. It was always like, yeah, the game's different now.
The game is a completely different game.
Yeah, it's just like, yeah.
There's pigeon bombs now for some odd reason.
You're basically the way you've configured your army. It just doesn't work anymore.
No, I think we've been through all three editions of Privateer Press of Wurmer Hordes.
Yes.
Two editions of Malifaux.
Pouring out for Wurmer Hordes.
Three editions of Flames of War.
You'd know that one more than me.
Yeah, we've been through
two editions of Butt Action,
the rise and fall of Confrontation. Actually, I think that happened before
we started. But you know what editions never changed?
Huh?
War Master. Speak of it in hushed tones
because it's long dead. It's like the ancient race that you don't speak about in the fantasy novel.
Or you find relics.
You find relics of them. Yeah.
You're like, what's this? The rule set. It's so interesting. Wow. What is this? Oh, that is the ancient game. We don't speak of it.
Now, if they did resin 3D printing for 10 millimeter scale, it's all over.
You're just gonna be dead. Like it just you're just gonna be a corpse, and like your printing machine is gonna continually be printing out strips of 10 millimeters on your body.
So the resin, yeah, exactly. The resin that you use in a 3D printer is the same resin that like they use on your teeth. It's UV light resin.
Mm-hmm.
So do you ever had your tooth fixed where they got like the light gun and go, and they like harden the resin?
I think the last thing I had was caps. So no,
I don't know. They usually use that with when you're getting like a veneer or something like that. But anyway, so it works on the same concept where it's like they take the resin and it's a plate that smooshes the resin to this plastic thing, and then the light shoots up in the pattern that it wants to do, and then it just raises it up, and hardens each layer as it goes up. The problem is that unless it gets exposed to UV light, like natural sunlight or artificial lamp, it stays liquid as a resin. So you get it on your finger, you don't really realize you have it on your finger in such small amounts, and you put your finger in your mouth, you're like...
And you got resin in your mouth?
Yeah, and you got resin in your mouth.
Nice.
The printing of the resin makes me think, like, ew, and the smell, like, some people really like that smell. I'm starting to not like it because I realize that I have it somewhere on my body and I can't find it. Anywho, we've been through, like, three editions of the Batman Miniatures game, and none of them have ever made any sense.
No.
They have a new edition that just came out, I believe. It's like the back to
Could Earth, this be the one?
Back to Gotham or something like that. Like, could this be the one? No. How people still love that fucking game.
I don't think they love the game. I think they love the models.
And the
models are real nice.
And the terrain.
Yeah, the models and the terrain are real nice. I ain't gonna lie. Like they look real good.
Have you heard anything about Crisis Protocol since it came out? Marvel Crisis Protocol.
No, I didn't even know it came out.
Yeah, it's out now. There's a MODOK. You could buy a MODOK figure.
Fucking finally.
Yeah.
He's the mental organism designed only for killing.
But yeah, they have like the game has come out and it is like, where's the fanfare for this? I don't see anything for it.
It farted is what you're saying.
It may have. I don't know. Like my thing is that it's too soon. Like miniatures games got to get a little bit of steam going behind it before it. I can say it's a poopy release, but I can honestly say that the Star Wars, the new edition with the clone, you know, the Clone Wars set. I haven't heard shit about that either. So I've seen a couple painted figures, but that's about it.
Droidicas?
Droidicas?
Rolling droids. Racist aliens.
The Jedi are most dishonorable.
I mean, they didn't say the line, but I wouldn't have been surprised if they did.
Is that regal?
I will make it regal. I mean legal.
They fixed it in the new editions. When it came out on Blu-ray, they changed that.
Did they really?
Yeah.
They removed their super racist accents?
Well, no, just that line. Oh. That regal to more legal.
Oh, man.
Yeah. They changed it.
Never forget, he said fucking regal.
He did say
with
regal.
With a fucking hard R.
With a hard R. So for our 200th episode, some people... sent in just some stuff. I wanted to just a couple things. Oh, by the way, the resin printer on Thingiverse, they have 32 millimeter He-Man files.
Oh, so you can finally do your He-Man game.
I can do a He-Man game, Steve.
Finally.
I just got to print it out and paint it, which is never going to happen.
He-Man.
Robert.
Fabulous secret powers are granted to me.
Robert Mantica said, my favorite memories to this day still cannot look at a blood secretor figure without your initial reactions to Age of Sigmar. Blood secretor!
You've got a blood secretor.
Also, my wife and I routinely mimic your sacred katana voice and regularly wonder what we can do in a Warhammer store since we only play Star Wars games.
That's right.
Do you guys sell Star Wars here?
What's Warhammer? You got Star Wars?
That's something we haven't talked about in a while, like a bit that we used to do all the time. It's like, you guys sell Pokemon cards here?
No, the best was the people who just call and ask for like the newest video games. Like, I was looking for the new Modern Warfare. It's like, you're really far off.
Well, I mean, I still call up Tim when I call to see if he's in the store. I go, you guys sell Pokemon cards? As for content ideas, how about an overview on your thoughts, ideas about the many major game systems out there. You routinely talk trash about certain game systems. We talk trash about every game system,
generally.
Let's be fair. And he preys on others. And with 200 episodes, it's hard to keep track of why something like Night Models Batman Miniatures game is hot garbage, while Warmaster represents the good and noble in the world. Here's the exact reason. Warmaster is dead. Warmaster was out there for all of like 3 years. It was an excellent rule set that was supported for 3 years, and then there was no support. And that was it. They never did a second edition of the game. They never did anything different to it. A couple updates, a couple little tiny tweaks, but that's it. It's a perfect game. It's in stasis. It's like Latin. Latin is a perfect language because it doesn't change. It's a dead language. There's no evolution of the language.
For me, it's a little not quite that. Like almost all of my so there's a couple issues. Like the rule sets are there's many rule sets. My quick and dirty of why I like or dislike certain things are, one, is the balance horribly out of whack. The game's never going to be perfectly balanced. That's just the way it is. Like, nothing is ever perfectly balanced. Even chess favors the first turn player. Like, there is no game out there that's perfectly balanced. So that can't be it. But there's a difference between a game that is balanced and then Necrons and Battlefleet Gothic. So that's the level. So like, is there a Necrons and Battlefleet Gothic situation in your game? And is the game playable? You know, that would be the biggest gripe against the Night Models games. Like the
rule set's unplayable.
Yeah, it was very unplayable. I assume it has to have been fixed to some degree by now. Infinity was the same way. The first edition of Infinity was unplayable because you couldn't understand.
Steve, if an opponent attack succeeds, you have to roll onside the insight dice roll, and if dice roll succeeds, then action is negated.
The D20-30.
What?
What the fuck is a D20-30? So that would be the one thing. The second
most dishonorable.
The second is 100% game feel. What does the game convey? Does it do? And the reason I always come back to Warmaster, not necessarily because it's a dead game, because they could have very easily made more editions of Warmaster, and then they technically did. Battle of Five Armies is another edition of Warmaster. It has a lot of tweaks, and improvements to the rule set, but it kept the core. It's because Battle of Five Armies, the game's conceit is you are a general commanding a vast army with no technology. You have runners and like dudes deliver, like literally like a horseman delivering
orders.
Or you have like a mage commanding the undead. Why the undead act on their own initiative a lot. Because that's one of the things. Like they're one of their big things is they charge because they don't have their own. Well, whatever. That's besides the point. When you play that game, it feels like you're commanding an army. Like when you're playing as the orcs, you feel like the orcs' leadership is low. So you're like, all right, I need these guys to do this. And you're like lieutenant over there just fucks it up. And you're like, God damn it! And like it's very much like you're trying to herd cats. They're orcs. So like that's very cool. And the way the game plays and the way the game plays out, it very much feels like that because you don't in War Master, for those who have never played War Master, you don't pick a unit and then move it. It's not like a normal miniatures game that you've played before, like Warhammer, where you like, I'm going to do this with this unit, and then you resolve said action. The way War Master works is you have a general and you have lieutenants, and you issue orders with your lieutenants to your general. When a character fails to issue an order, that character is done. You can keep issuing orders repeatedly with the same character, and it gets harder and harder for each subsequent order. So like your orcs, an orc general's or a orc lieutenant's leadership is 7. So you're rolling 2d6. You're trying to get a 7 or under to get your order off. And then the next one goes up by 1. So then the difficulty goes higher. So then basically you become leadership 6, then 5, then 4, so on and so forth. And if you fail to issue the order, the lieutenant stops doing the order. And then the unit that you issued that order to does nothing. And if you critically fail, if you roll the boxcars, then the unit can get confused and do something, you know, extremely shitty. So that's how it works. So like when you want to march your units, you issue the order, and then you can group units together and have them march together in like a battalion. So that's how you can make it efficient. So you can have 5 units go together with 1 order. But when you're playing that game, it very much is like, wow, I'm commanding a big force here. There's lots of troops. Yeah. There's lots of things. There's a lot of moving parts.
Well, it's the game feel is basically right. What it is. It works for that game. There's some other problems too. I mean, like one of the big problems, like we always complain about 40K is that the rules bloat in 40K is ridiculous.
Oh yeah.
To keep up with just your army, you need 5 to 6 books.
Yeah,
that you
tons
carry with you
of books,
constantly.
Extra cards, extra stratagems, this thing's added, that thing's added. It's kind of like Kill Team's almost as bad, because Kill Team's like you get your kill team, but then you need like a ton of the accessories, and like you need this book and that book and this book and that book. You have to stay up to date with Kill Team.
Yeah, and it's rules bloat's always a negative. And that's one thing that Age of Sigmar is really great about, is that you really only need your battle tome. Like there's very and probably whatever the latest general's handbook is, but usually that's just for points.
Yeah, yeah. If you have the app, the app substitutes for the general's handbook.
Yeah,
if necessary.
And that's just for army building. I mean, occasionally if you want to like, oh, I'm gonna for playstyle, like I'm gonna play this scenario or something.
Yeah, they have good scenarios in there.
They do, but it's not necessary.
Right.
But yeah, there's the general's handbook, your battle tome, and that's about it. Because it's only a 6-page
rule set.
Yeah,
you just don't need that much.
No, you don't. That's kind of the reason why I think a lot of, like, me and you really like Age of Sigmar as opposed to 40K.
Yeah, right? There's just less you need to manage.
And that's why I like 30K, is because 30K is literally the same thing.
And that
it's
was
like
the worst
two
thing.
Or three rule books.
And then to take that to the extreme, War Machine. War Machine, trying to access War Machine as a new player is horrible. It is the most negative play experience you'll have, because
you need every book.
There's a million billion fucking combos. The combos end the game. It's not like in like Age of Sigmar or in 40K where you're like, all right, these dudes have this fucking war gear, and then I'm gonna cast this psychic spell, and it like combos with this war gear. So now they're rerolling saves, and your opponent's like, damn, that's fucking strong as shit. What the fuck am I supposed to do against that? It's tough, and like they might lose because of it. But they still play the game.
Yeah.
In War Machine, when you're like, this guy does this, 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 and this, and your guy's dead, I win. Like, it ends the game when you're talking combos in War Machine. And there's so many little bullshit interactions like that. Like, trying to start from scratch is fucking impossible. Like, you have to play constantly because you have to know, you have to know every army, because every army is going to have, like, I think it's like every army has like 2 to 3 tournament level gimmicks, because that's all War Machine is. It's gimmicks. It's not really a, it's not really a battle game. And that's another, that's another strike against it. And here it comes back to game feel. Like, you look at War Machine and you're like, oh, cool. So it's about these like casters who are powering these robots. And like, the game is about robots fucking beating the shit out of each other. Neat. That's cool. When you play the game, yes, not that. It's the opposite. Like, remember how I was saying how War Master has the game feel where you're controlling a giant army and then like it really feels like that? War Machine's the fucking opposite. You think it's going to be this game, and it's like, nah, it's basically like a weird kind of like almost Magic the Gathering, but yeah, everyone's just playing combo decks, and like there's no counter spells, so if the other guy gets their combo off, you lose. That's War Machine, and it's a fucking problem. And it's like it's just a negative play experience all around.
Also, we've made it through like 2 editions of Dust.
Is Dust still around?
Dust is still around.
Paolo Puelente's Dust?
Bum, bum, bum. Yeah, it's still around. But yeah, I mean, there's it all depends. Like, for example, Bolt Action, it's a really solid game. The problem is that it's a rules problem. The rules are so generic that they don't reward you for playing historical, and then people get mad because you don't play historical, and it's just like, well, what's the point? You know, it's yeah, like, and then
everyone has flamethrowers. Deal with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Flamethrowers were fucking useless in the real world, but in the game, they're dope.
No, they weren't useless in the real world. It all depended on the situation in which you were using them at.
Most people exploded.
Yeah. Well, that's true too. Your guy has the possibility of exploding as well, but there's no reward in not taking the best equipment that can throw out the most dice. There's no benefit in doing that. Like, there's no benefit in taking an Italian army with machine gun tanks because you're just throwing out that many more dice. And it's like, no, the Italians sucked in World War II, but guess what? They're in Bolt Action. They fucking rock. But I, you know,
that's Alessio getting yeah, it back.
But it's also the problem where it's like, Warlord Games puts out an FAQ for the game once a year and it barely does anything. And it's just like, okay, I guess. They never haven't updated a single book since they updated Germany like 3 years ago. And all of it's like, we're just doing these little campaign books. And it's like, I don't want campaign books. I'm not going to play a campaign. I just want to play pickup games. And it's like, this is not for that. So, and all, that's what a lot of it depends on. Like a game viability. 2 editions of Saga we've been through.
I hear nothing but good things about Saga, actually.
It's a solid game. It's very generic. The warbands are all feel kind of the same, so it all depends if you like painting your potato sacks red or painting your potato sacks yellow.
Potato sacks.
Because it's all about your random like dude who you're going to defend your homestead, so put on your potato sack and grab your pitchfork. So let's go, you fucking dirt farmer.
Well, generic stuff works okay sometimes. See, generic, you can have I haven't seen the new edition of King's War yet, but King's War is a good example of generic. A game that is so generic and balanced, it becomes inherently super unbalanced. because, like, the problem with the game, with the last edition of King's War that I played, the game design, it's a fine game, really was. But when you have a game where everything is super tightly balanced like that, you actually do achieve a best unit choice very rapidly. And because of the way the game works, the game becomes pick best unit, copy paste best unit up to your points. Like there's no reason to take. Like I was playing undead and I had a mixed undead army. So I had like, you know, the skeletons, I had some zombies, I had a
3 editions of Kings of War.
I had a unit of that were like Tomb Guard, and I had Black Knights, and you know, I had a mix. I had like my army looked like an undead army. And I played against someone and they had the angelic army, and they had 1 block of troops, and then everything else was just the 3-man units of angels. And
you got rocked.
I got absolutely fucking destroyed. Yeah. And I was just like, what the fuck am I supposed to do about this? And I'm looking and I'm like, oh, I made the mistake because I should have bought nothing but 3-man blocks of werewolves.
Yep.
So like, it wasn't that my army couldn't possibly beat his army, which was a serious problem with Warhammer. Like, oh, you're playing orcs? Yeah. Yeah, sorry. You're just going to lose against like six out of the, like, there's going to be about 12 armies this tournament. Six of them are going to automatically beat you. Four might. Two, you might have a game.
So, and there are other orc players.
Yeah. So it's not like that where it's like my army had no hope. It was the, someone said it. So like the problem with a lot of other games is inter-army balance, where like it's hard to have a balance with like my army versus your army versus his army. With Kings of War, the balance was difficult inside your army because it's like you have 10 choices, 8 of them are bad, 2 of them are the ones you should use. And so like had I been playing the optimal undead army, which was all werewolves, and then like a lich lord or whatever, I would have had a game against him because that's what I should have, you know, that's what I should have played. So it's kind of like, well, that's not what I wanted out of this game.
Well, yeah, but that's, you know, that's the creating a game. There's no perfect game
except for Warmaster.
Brett Miles asks and says, congrats on 200 episodes. I can't remember how long I've been a listener for, but it's been since the early days. So thanks for the laughs. Our games group still makes references to casting dazzling lights for Shogun to this day during our game sessions.
That's good.
I cast dazzling lights. I'll distract him with the dazzling lights, Shogun. My spell failed.
Oh, most dishonorable.
How dare you come at me with your racist accent? Draw steel, knave. Shing. You're just a baka.
Baka. I still chuckle when I think about the Poopman picture I made for the competition at all the flame tank and katana jokes.
I loved all the Poopman pictures.
Poopman. God, that's a game that's still around for some odd reason.
Oh yeah, how many editions of Beyond the Gates of Antares?
Only one.
Oh, perhaps yeah. They have a perfect edition on their hands.
I mean, it's not a bad game. The rule set's okay. It's, I mean, the core mechanics of the rule set are okay, because I know that, because it's bolt action. They use a D10 instead of a D6, which I think is better, because 10 percentile, I think, is more balanced than using a D6.
Yeah, it depends on how many dice you throw. Doing odds and whatnot. Like, War Machine has a good use of D6s, where everything's 2D6, and then you have the ability to add D6s up to a maximum of 5.
Yeah,
that's a good one. Bolt action to me strikes me as a game where it sounds like you just roll buckets of D6s.
You do, but the problem is that the balance of the D6 sucks. Because like you think about it, one of the problems is that 4 is generally considered the average, but that's actually higher, and that you have a less of a chance of getting a 4. You know, because of the odds of rolling a 4 or higher are actually more difficult than 50%, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Right.
I mean, it kind of is, but it's right. Not.
It's like it's 48.3%.
Yeah, it's there's like the percentages are off on it, and it's a D10 at least. Then you have, so it's like, oh, you have a standard weapon. It's a 4 or higher to hit. Okay. So you have a better weapon. It's a 5 or, and it's a 3 or higher to hit. Well, your odds are fucking insanely higher when you have a 3 or higher as opposed to a 4 or higher. But when you have a D10, you have the difference between rolling a 4 or higher and a 5 or higher, it's not quite as dramatically different.
Yeah, it gives you more of a range.
Yeah. So, I appreciate that.
I think if you're rolling less dice, I don't know how many dice you roll in those games, but I think rolling less dice, 10s are better.
Yeah.
Rolling more dice, 6s are fine.
Yeah.
Because that's why in games like Shadowrun, you need to roll so many fucking dice because it's using D6s. So to get to like, to break past like the mathematical averages, you have to roll a shit ton of D6s for it to, you know, it's like I'm not a fucking statistician, but I would imagine you need it like, you probably need double the amount of D6s as you would for D10s to hit like, to try and hit like a mathematical average.
Yeah, it's
repeatedly.
Yeah. The by the way, one of my favorite bits I was thinking about, because I was trying to think of my favorite bits, was Star Trek playing D&D. The Next Generation. Oh, where, yeah. That, I was thinking of that bit, and I got to see if I could find it. I don't know where it is. 200 episodes, I'm not planning on going through to find it. But it's just, like, fucking Picard, like, trying to do, like, run the game.
Yeah.
And then Worf
just, I hit him with my Batleth. Worf, you don't have a Batleth.
You're a bard.
Why am I a bard?
Wasn't he a bard in when they did the Robin Hood?
I am not a merry man.
I am not a merry man. But wasn't he the bard, or was that
I don't remember
someone else?
No, I think he was Little John.
Was he Little John?
Yeah, I think he was Little John.
Because someone was actually had a mandolin.
I don't remember who had the mandolin, but I'm pretty sure it was not Worf.
Yeah. Sure I Worf think was Worf broke the mandolin, I think is what it was.
I think that might be right.
Yeah. James, one of our earliest listeners who never gave up on us. Never going to let you down.
What a fool.
What a fool. Even through all of the British jokes that I make. By the way, that fucking meme, did you see how many hits it had?
No, I mean, it's an important thing going on right now, making sure that they reinstitute the Warhammer Fantasy Battle.
Oh my god, I'm still so fucking mad about all these people who are coming out of the woodwork being like, I'm always was a supporter of Warhammer Fantasy Battles. Like, no, you fucking weren't. You like the idea and you play Total War. You're not going to collect an old square-based 28mm fantasy army. You're not. It's never going to happen. You can't paint the three fucking figures you have in front of you right now. You're not going to paint a unit of 20 fucking skeletons. Or 20 skeletons. You're not going to paint a unit of 40 skeletons. You can't paint the three that are in front of you right now. So go fuck off. And you think GW is going to...
Yeah, but they're just going to buy their figures and sit them in the closet.
Yeah, exactly. Like I do. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
So James says, MCA Hogarth is entirely to blame for me finding you. If I hadn't chanced upon her run in with GW for writing Spots the Space Marine and then followed the link to you shitting on GW, then we'd have all had a quieter life and maybe done something productive with the time we mostly spent arguing about British and Greek Turkish food. Yeah, British food's terrible. Except for Steve likes those awful chips.
I love those crisps. Chips. They're so good.
My favorite moment of the last four credible moments in the 200 hours of content was Pat B making a value comparison of Drop Zone Commander and the Centurions. Maybe I'll find that because I think I know what episode that is where they have the where Pat's just like, what? Those cost what? And well, to be fair, there's two editions of Drop Zone Commander as well. Drop Zone Commander is a great game, though. That's a cool game.
Drop Zone Commander is a cool game.
Drop Fleet Commander is pretty cool, too. I haven't played Drop Fleet.
Drop Fleet Commander has some dope-looking chips.
Yeah. I love a fucking spaceship game, man. I hate playing them. I just love designs of spaceship games.
They're fucking cool-looking.
Because they're just boat games. They're just toot-toot boat games, and they're just...
Not the Battlestar Galactica one. The Battlestar Galactica Ares. Oh, that's the thing. I don't know if I talked about it on the cast. I probably have, but the Battlestar Galactica Ares game is the ultimate version of X-Wing.
You know what? You have talked about this on the cast.
Where you can your ships actually behave like starfighters, and you can do things like go straight forward, but turn your ship 90 degrees and continue moving straight forward with your ship facing the other direction and firing. Like, oh, it moves like a fucking starfighter.
You mean there's inertia?
Yeah, there's inertia. Holy shit.
Inertia is a property of matter.
God, it's so that was always the thing. About, every time I watch someone playing X-Wing, I'm just like, ugh. It's like legit. I'm just like, ugh. What are you doing?
There's no inertia on these ships.
It's just dumb. It's just like why are you wheeling with an X-Wing?
Yeah.
Like, that's how they fucking move. It's just like, that's not how, what? Like, you should be able to move in any direction at any point. You're in fucking space.
Have you watched The Mandalorian yet?
No.
No, not yet. I genuinely admire your persistence in entertaining what seems like at most 10 fans. You're criminally underappreciated, but given that 90% of my fellow hobbyists are truly awful, humorless, tasteless, talentless, socially repulsive, boorish, physical monstrosities, it'll probably be a good thing, or they're all on Reddit but got too old to bother learning a new ecosystem.
It's true.
Yeah, we are definitely a minority podcast in that, I mean, we're still white because most gaming podcasts are just white guys talking about
mid-30s white guys. I mean, it's true. You know, when you reach 30, that I saw that there's a tweet. This is when a guy hits 30, they have to pick a subclass, and your subclass is
podcaster,
golfer,
beer enthusiast,
and then I can't remember what the other one was.
Yeah,
But I
cannot golf. I fucking hate golf.
We selected podcaster. That was our subclass.
Yeah.
You know, and that's it.
I'm also into 3D printing, Steve.
So middle-aged white guys doing a podcast about games. Shock.
About games, yeah. I mean, to say our podcast is about games is
game orbiting.
Yeah, it's
if gaming was a planet, we'd be a satellite around the planet.
Satellite.
We wouldn't be on the planet though.
No, God no.
Yeah, we're not on the planet. It's orbiting it
because it's full of fucking Nazis.
It's true.
I saw one of those posts that was like, man can't wait for Sisters of Battle to drop so he can mansplain why they shouldn't be space marines.
I just want the Sisters of Battle to step on me with those fucking high heels.
You're into some crush porn there?
No, just me.
Just you. Well, that's what I'm saying, but crushing you. Jason Yarborough, another old timer, says, I just want 5-minute montage of game class. He sings. Andrew McCall says, 5 minutes, only the high low lights. If I could go through and find every song that we have sung in this podcast, it would literally
that would probably be like two podcasts worth of content.
Yeah, it would just be us doing the Saturday morning and Disney afternoon, you know, most of the time.
This is some excellent content.
Yeah. I do like the new DuckTales cartoon. We finally finished all the seasons of it, and I did I can't get over the new song. I still like the old, like, life is like a hurricane.
Oh, they don't use the old song?
They do, but they update it, and it doesn't sound as good to me.
Oh, okay. It's just new singers?
Yeah.
Okay, well.
It's a little funkier of a beat.
Well, that's fine.
You know, it's just updated.
The heart's there.
Yeah. It's not as good as Tailspin, though.
Oh, we are Tailspin. Oh, we are Tailspin. All the trouble we get in with another Tailspin.
I think it's the whole thing.
Yeah. Well, they do like that.
Oh, yeah. The quick talking.
Tailspin. I was on the last episode of
I like that. I like that bear chick in her pleated pants.
the very late 80s, early 90s with the...
She has the pleated mom jeans and the poof hair.
And shoulder pads.
Yes.
On the jacket. Yep. Yeah. That's it was very like Wings-esque. Like, it was very NBC Thursday of this woman coming into this guy's business and take it over. Like, it's like, who wrote this? What sitcom writer wrote this show?
And then Shere Khan in his fucking suit.
Yeah.
Looked dope.
Well, on the final episode of DuckTales this season, Steelbeak was in there.
Oh,
I was
nice.
Like, I was like, because Darkwing Duck showed up and he was, God, that show, it like hits all the right buttons for me. It's just like, oh, I remember this. I remember this. Gummy berry juice.
You got hit with the member this.
Yeah, I did. But it does it in a way that's not too bad.
Okay.
Like, it works into the plot, which I appreciate.
It's good.
Yeah. I don't like it when they ham fist it too much, like, remember this?
Yeah.
But if it works in service of the plot, I'm okay with it. And it's not like pointing out too much attention to it. Like, look at this!
Right.
You know? But, I think because we mostly do, like, the cartoon theme songs, and then it would be, every once in a while, it would be, like, some random 80s song. Like, I just have to, like...
Usually a sitcom intro.
Or sitcom intro. I'd have to say, like, Michael McDonald, and then Steve just takes it away.
Ain't no stopping us now. I can't forget how in love anymore. I can't forget... We're not talking about the game classy.
That should be our new theme song. I should isolate that.
Just Michael McDonald.
Just Michael, Steve doing Michael McDonald singing. Game classy. Because Andrew actually says, bring back the classic intro.
Skinks with a 4+. Lasers and tanks.
Tanks with lasers. Or elves with lasers.
Yeah.
Elves with lasers and tanks. Oh my stars.
That's the line.
Yeah.
Oh, that intro. People love it. I don't know why people love that intro. It's stupid. It's like an hour and a half long.
I don't know.
We're so glad to see all you out here tonight. I'd like to thank all the members of the Illinois law enforcement community.
Orange whip. Orange whip.
Three orange whips. Orange whips are delicious. Anthony Carroll asks, have you ever gone back to the haunted house of early podcast fame? I don't know what that means. the haunted house of early podcast. We didn't weren't really that famous ever.
I also don't know what that even means.
I every once in a while if I have to look up some, I'm trying to look up something, I'll go back to an early.
Maybe he's referencing. Maybe he's referencing something that we encountered, or maybe the old basement that we recorded in.
Oh
maybe
yeah,
he's referring to that house. Yeah, as a haunted house, the haunted basement.
The original, the one where you could, where the water or the heater would turn on every 15 minutes.
Yes,
in the background.
Maybe that's what he meant.
Could be.
If that's the question, no.
No. we were recording in a basement with my iPhone, I believe, was how we used to record.
Yes.
And then we actually got like podcast equipment, which is still not, it's like Pat B's podcast equipment, all that crazy shit. But I've had this little Zoom recorder now for probably close to 7 of the 8 years of us recording this podcast.
And it works.
It still works. As beat up as this piece of shit is, it's not a piece of shit. It's actually very wonderful.
That's got to be what he's referencing.
He's got to be referencing that.
Yeah.
With your miniatures all spread across the table.
It's true. There's a shit ton of them. Yeah. That was when I was grinding through and selling and painting and buying, painting, selling. I swear that like that permanently fucking destroyed my ability to like sit and grind on models.
Yeah, or enjoy painting at least.
Definitely destroyed my ability to enjoy painting. But I'm fairly certain it really wrecked my ability to like grind on models. Because the last time I was I painted for like 3 hours straight, and I got so much done, I was just like, "What the fuck? Like, how is this possible?" And I was like, "Oh, that's right. I can paint fast. I just have to sit and do it, and it's hard to like get that gumption to like do it because it feels like it's like." Work. It's like, you know, it's like I'm off work. It's like, oh, it's yeah, you know, I'm off work. I have a, you know, a day off. It's a weekend or whatever. And it's just like, I could paint. And it's just like, but that's just work.
Exactly. Raza, good old Raza says, strong work, guys. And actually, Paymaster Games has a sale this weekend. I know it's going to come out a little late. I'm sorry, Raza, but that's just we record on Sunday morning and then I put it up on Sunday afternoon. So. Just the way that it works. Strong work, guys. I have been a faithful listener since 2014. You are by far the best gaming podcast on the interweb. I hope that you continue this great work. Yeah, Raza runs Paymaster Games, and they do all of the like the spiritual fantasy.
Yeah, the cool native stuff.
Native stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the stuff on there is really cool.
I love the Orca Man.
The Orca Man. I like the Quaddles, the Quetzalcoatls.
The Quaddles are good.
I always like those. But yeah, they got that going on there. I mean, like, that's I think the one thing that saves us as a podcast is that games producers actually listen to us. Like you know,
they're
Paymaster.
They're the only ones who can understand our bitterness towards the gaming community.
you know, the guys from Arena Rex, the Titan Forge. It's like they all kind of like listen to the podcast, so at least they understand the bitterness that we have towards them.
Not towards them. They are towards the gaming community.
Yeah, they understand. Yeah.
Say their games are good.
Yeah,
or miniatures are good. Because I don't like Titan Forge doesn't have a game, but their models are real nice.
They were working on a game. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it ever actually came out. I know they have some rules PDFs. I don't think I've ever delved too deep into mm-hmm. them, but they're yeah
too greedily and too deep.
Fly, you fools. But yeah, I mean, oh, and that's also a game that we didn't talk about was Arena Rex. It's like the perfect four-man miniatures, like perfect four-miniature game.
Yeah, if you're looking for like a quick skirmish game, there's no game that's better.
Yeah. You have four models. You play on like a...
You play in the arena.
You play by like on a 2-foot by 2-foot board.
I love games that can play on playmats.
Yeah.
And that game's a game that can play on playmat. And that's I love it.
Mwah.
It's because you can actually play it in places other than a game store.
Yeah.
Like Age of Sigmar is fun, but playing it at home, eh.
I was, I've always, you know, a project that I've always wanted to do was do like a magnetized army that I could play on the fridge. Like
I have that. I could do that.
Well, what I was like, think about it. You put up a big couple sheets of sheet metal on a wall and you just play the game on the sheet metal instead of playing it like on a table. Like all of the terrain is just on the wall. Like everything's just on the wall and it's just magnetized. So you just stick it to the wall.
That sounds awful.
I mean, it's only awful if you don't have a strong enough magnet and your models just go
Or they just slide.
They slide
they
down,
do the
yeah.
slide, just like...
You gotta get some strong-ass fucking magnets that you can... But they're still easy enough to release that you're not...
Yeah, all of my guys have been fridge-tested.
Fridge-tested. Yeah, mother-approved.
Yeah, fridge-tested, mother-approved. Those are my minis.
And Daniel VK1 says... V1Cade says... Classic cast full of GW minis crammed into your anus, original intro, and plenty of everyone's favorite dynamic duo, Shogun and Magic Sidekick.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, we referenced them as well.
We did. And why does everyone fucking want the original intro, Steve? Yeah,
people like the
I'm
intro.
I'm not going to give them to them. I don't.
People like the
I
intro.
I will either. Not give them the original intro.
You could do a new intro.
Ain't no stopping us now. Game classy.
Yeah. Yeah. This is what Michael McDonald.
Michael McDonald. Ha, achoo. Like McDonald having an allergy attack.
That's good.
But yeah, that we've seen a lot of shit going on with the miniatures community. At least, I mean, not to mention all of the fun stuff with Magic, including people getting banned.
Ass crack guy.
Did I tell you about did we talk about this in the last podcast about the guy with your Stardust channel? So he has that animated movie, A Star Ace.
Oh, yeah. His shit got hacked.
Yeah.
I did talk about that.
And about how it's the one guy who got punched at Gen Con is now trying to support him.
Yeah, the quartering.
Yeah, the quartering. Yeah, fuck that. Oh, God.
The I'm permanently banned from Magic because I harassed a cosplayer quartering.
But I'm in the right, free speech.
I mean, sure. And you're also banned.
But you're also playing Magic.
No, he's not playing Magic. He's fucking banned.
I just saw something about a Yu-Gi-Oh! Tournament's banning like stinky players. And I'm just like, you know, it's...
Yu-Gi-Oh! Is the only tournament that I know of that has multiple gun issues on their ban page. Multiple players banned from Yu-Gi-Oh! Tournaments for guns.
But concealed to carry. What happens if 20 to 30 wild hogs break into the Yu-Gi-Oh! Tournament while we are playing?
No, it's likely to guard their drugs in most cases.
Yeah. But Steve,
we're talking Yu-Gi-Oh!
Steve, 20 to 30 wild hogs breaks into the Yu-Gi-Oh! Tournament.
I think it's 30 to 50
30
feral,
to 50
hogs.
Feral hogs. While my children are playing.
While your children are playing Yu-Gi-Oh!
How do I protect against them?
Well, you just use mirror force.
Use mirror force.
God. Not so fast, wild hogs! You've activated my trap card, Mirror Force. All the fucking pigs explode.
Did Steve just banish those the pigs to the Shadow Realm?
He did.
I think he did. What's the Yu-Gi-Oh the one with like the arm thing where they have like
the dual disc.
The fucking kids wearing rocking around with that thing.
The things are great.
You know what kids don't do anymore? Naruto headbands. I don't see those anymore.
They don't do any of the cool stuff anymore.
Now it's just
vaping and vape tricks.
I mean, you still hear about the Naruto
charge
run.
My jewel. It's true, the Naruto runners.
But I think those are mostly older now. Those are people who would wear the Naruto headbands.
Yeah.
And they just but I don't see people like actually doing the Naruto run. But I haven't been to
the kids just ask you to charge their jewels now.
Okay. I haven't been to a convention with a big anime presence in a while. C2E2, but I never really pay that much attention to the anime aspect.
I don't think there's a lot of headband wearing anymore.
Especially because ASEAN is so big that that's where they all go anyway.
Well, I mean, also Naruto's not on anymore. Now it's there's other shows.
Yeah.
So
I always my weirdest like anime memory at a convention was I was waiting in line for was it Sean Astin or something like that, and we were waiting in line. It was for a panel, and there was these people in anime outfits walking around. I don't know what. Animes, what Japanimation they were doing, but they were
Afghanistan animation.
They had like swords, and this was like the pre-foam swords, so these were like probably wooden swords. And this one chick kept on hitting this guy in the crotch with the sword, like, and he was like laying down on the ground and kind of doing like a arched back, like where he stick his crotch up, and she would like whack his crotch with it. And we're sitting there going like, what the fuck is this? And if I, like, this was like in my 20s, and now I'm 30, you know, nine at this point, I would look at them and just be like, what the fuck are you doing? What is this from? Tell me what it's from.
I just like the idea of just some lady just wailing on some dude's nuts.
Well, I mean, it probably was sexual, but I have no problem with that. I just need to know, is this a sexual thing or is this an anime thing? Because I have more of a problem if it's an anime thing.
Both.
I have more of a problem if it's an anime thing than if it's a sexual thing. Oh, man. We're running out of time. I think the one other drop is Games Workshop talked about the they dropped their new releases. Did you see that they're the Mechanicus flyer?
No.
Oh my god, I got to bring this up. This is it's great. It looks like something out of like Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Oh, this sounds exciting.
I burped. That's good. They also showed some of the new animated, like, Warhammer cartoon or whatever they're doing, which looked all right. March to battle at Warhammer World. Here we go. Reveals from Warhammer 40,000 Open Day. So they did a Sisters of Battle figure that for the army that's like the fucking, the Ossiarch Bone Reaper, like the big fucking diorama model.
Oh, cool.
I hope they don't start doing this for every one of those models, because I don't like, they just look miserable to paint. But yeah, you will appreciate the
what the fuck.
I love Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. I love you.
That's pretty bad. That's not. I'm not gonna lie. That's pretty bad. Why does it have wings? Like
so
bat
it could go.
Wings.
So it could go.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
So while you're doing that, when it's flying around the table, go.
That's pretty bad. That's a.
Oh, I love it. I think that a pure person should field like an army of 30 of them.
That's pretty
good. You know, it looks.
It'll probably be very strong.
Yeah, it's gonna be amazing. I also love this. Is that they're still doing what's it called? Aeronautica Imperialis, and they made an orc bomber, and they have little grat bombs for it.
Oh,
so
that's
little
great.
Like 8mm grat
bombs.
Yeah,
that's terrific.
I'm like, it's fun. I just want some little 8mm grot bombs.
Yeah. You know, yeah. So when you absolutely got to grot bomb someone.
Yeah. Maybe I'll put it in as like an earring so like I can recapture my youth.
Nice.
Like
nice.
Most. Yeah. It's a good way to
buy go. Yourself a convertible and get some grot bomb earrings.
Real long convertible.
Yeah. Grow your hair out.
Yeah. No, I can't grow my hair out. I just, my hair grows up, not out. So I'd get the Jufro.
You could do a Conan.
My hair, you already can see my hair is a little pompadourish.
Yeah.
But if I grew it out,
yeah,
it's,
you do a Conan.
Yeah, it's pretty.
Yeah, so do the Conan.
Yeah, it's very frizzy and Jufro-y. So I don't like having my hair that long.
Maybe you need to use what's it?
Soul Glow?
No, that conditioner. Not conditioner.
Relaxer.
Relaxer, yeah. You gotta use some relaxer.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Some Soul Glow. Get some Soul Glow.
Yeah, so do that.
Get some Soul Glow. Some Jerry Curl.
You could be the, I think you'd have the mid-40s ponytail, I think is that. I think that's a good look for you.
Hey, man. Pay it forward.
Yeah, you, the mid-40s.
Karma, man.
Mid-40s ponytail, the t-shirt that's not supposed to be a midriff shirt, but is a midriff shirt on you, and sandals.
Should I just, I like wearing sandals regardless.
There you go.
But flip-flops.
Almost there.
Some,
Thong sandals.
Thongs.
They got to be thong sandals.
Oh, yeah. For sure. Okay. I don't like strapping my feet into anything.
Yeah, so I don't think you have a choice at this point. I think that's what you have to do.
I am literally a hobbit when it comes to that. Like the bottom of my feet right now are still black from me walking around barefoot. They're like the bottom of my feet are just huge calluses because I like being barefoot. You know, the tops pure snow white. The bottoms
the
coal black.
White.
Yeah,
yeah. I think this is your future. I mean, yeah. You have a choice.
I want a T-shirt though that just says "Keep on Trucking" and it's got the Art Crumb on it.
Yeah, that could be your not supposed to be a midriff but is a midriff shirt.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the get the ponytail on there, and then I open up a game store. Right.
I think you've got your future all planned out.
Right. I want it to be about miniatures games, but it's just me selling Magic singles.
Yep. Absolutely. Just Magic cards.
Yeah.
And Pokemon cards.
I think that was something we talked about early in the podcast, is that if I ever owned a game store, I would just hire you to run the game store. And then it would be you like just opening up Magic packs and going like, internet, internet, internet. Okay. I guess this is, I'm going to keep this one. Internet. But trash.
Into the garbage. Hey,
garbage, garbage, garbage. Internet, internet, garbage.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is the garbage box. This is the internet box. Yeah. He's so fast. How's he doing it?
He's a machine. It's a machine. Yeah. That's. I would just have you run that portion of it, and that would be my game store. But I have to be independently wealthy in order to do that. So I'm never going to be independently wealthy, which is why I'm voting Labor. I can't vote in the UK elections, but I'm voting Labor. So there you go. What do they call magical space grandpa or magical wish grandpa? Is that they're calling Jeremy Corbyn? I don't remember what it was. But yeah,
I don't know. My rule of thumb is if super rich people don't want you to vote for someone, you probably should vote for that person.
Yeah,
that's my usual rule of thumb.
Yeah, because fuck the rich. Yeah, man. Yeah, yeah.
Eat them.
Eat that damn rich. I want to see what the numbers are on that one meme I put up on there, because like the numbers were insane. It's if we are lucky, we get like, you know, a couple thousand people view our memes. Most people, it's not over like 200, right? Like views. And this one was, I think, the fucking numbers. 47,437. Like, holy shit.
Well, I mean, like Alan Moore lookalike talking about space marines.
Mr. Coleman, Age of Sigmar has been a disastrous failure for the British government, for the British public. Will a Labour government nationalize Games Workshop and bring back classic Warhammer Fantasy Battle?
It's good.
I mean, that's all they pretty much got left is like Games Workshop and Cadbury. I don't even know if Cadbury's still made in the UK.
No, they still got Cadbury.
They still got Cadbury, so that's it. It's like Cadbury and Games Workshop are like the only two companies left in Britain. And those crappy car makers that they have that are really terrible. I don't know what they are. But
Are there British cars?
Yeah. I think it's just like Jaguar a British car?
Jaguar?
Jaguar.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, I don't know.
Studebaker? Studebaker British?
No, Studebaker was an American.
I don't fucking know, dude. I hate cars.
You don't hate cars. You just don't care a lot.
I hate cars.
Oh, I hate cars.
Yeah, I hate cars.
You're like me. I don't care about cars.
Trains!
Trains. What are you, Ayn Rand?
Trains!
to trains. The future. Oh, man. All right. So
Trains should be the future. They won't be because of all the horrible infrastructure in America, but they should be.
I just don't like sharing space with strangers. That's my problem. It's like I want public transportation and I want the ability to take it. I just hate sharing space with strangers.
Take the train. It's not like the bus. The bus is where you're like fucking assholes and elbows. The train's not like that at all.
Yeah, it is. You're still like, I'm talking the loop. On the loop, you're still.
It's not that bad.
It's not as bad as a bus, but it's still, you're sitting in a pile of puddles.
Yeah, but you can have a more efficient train design, and you know, and you could pay for the private seat.
The only efficient train design I would like is that a train where I walk into and I'm just like suspended, where I just don't have to do anything.
Like gel?
Like a gel. Like an impact gel.
You go into the room and like a gel just like fills it up. You like breathe in the gel.
Exactly. Yeah, like the abyss. Yeah, you know? Okay. Yeah, that's what I want. And so I go to sleep and then I wake up in my destination. That's the most efficient public transportation design. I
mean, yeah, go for it. Get it done.
Like I literally walk in. I'm like frozen in carbonite, and then they unfreeze me, and I'm like, ah, at home already. That's the type of public transportation I want.
Yeah, get it done.
Yeah, I'm just I just don't like any public transportation system where the puddles of human waste have been around and have more cachet on the bus than I do.
Hey, that waste has been here since the 70s.
Exactly. It's my one failing is as a fairly progressive human being is the fact that I hate it. I hate taking public transportation. I don't mind it. I do it, but I hate doing it. But anyway, so go to our Facebook page, Game Classy Podcast. You know, that's another thing we live through is the entire life cycle of Planet Arbitrary. No longer exists.
And the rise and fall of many podcasts.
On
Planet Arbitrary.
On Planet Arbitrary, yeah. Let's see. There was original Planet Arbitrary. There was Comic Book Logic, which had two iterations. Play on Podcast,
which is now on its second iteration.
Deconstructing Daycare is still there.
Wasn't there a music one?
Oh, yeah, we did. We did do a music one. What was that called? God, I can't even think of what it was called. But that was short-lived.
It still existed.
It did exist. I forgot about that one, though. Yeah, so you could go to our Facebook page. It's the best way to get in contact with us. You could actually follow me on Instagram at GameClassyJoe. You could follow me on Thingiverse.
Fuck's a Thingiverse?
Thingiverse, I've been putting up some designs I've been doing in 3D. So if you like 3D printing, you can actually print some designs by me. What is my... Let me see. I made one.
The fuck is a Thingiverse? That sounds made up.
Thingiverse is the it's just a place where you put up STLs, like free things to print out in 3D.
I see.
Printing. And so you could I basically take other people's designs and I slapped Imperial Fist iconography on it and I called it my own.
I see. Okay.
Yes.
So it's DeviantArt for miniatures.
Kinda, except there's not a lot of furry porn.
Or so you think.
Yeah. I mean, it could very well be. I think I'm Game Classy Joe. I think that's what I go by on there. So you got that on Instagram. Are you on Instagram? No, not anymore. You are still on Twitter, though. You do consistently yell at our president.
Mm.
Yeah. And that's
my civic duty.
What's your
I'm
Twitter?
I'm
Command Throw.
Hopefully, I am able to get Command Throw. When the great Twitter purge happens.
When's the Twitter purge going to happen?
I believe it is December 11th.
What are they doing? Just getting rid of...
So what they're doing is accounts that haven't been signed in to their handle for like some period of time are going to be freed up.
Ah.
So there's a lot of ats that might become available soon. So I'm hoping that I get Command Throw.
I'm actually under Classy Game Joe.
Oh, Classy Game Joe.
Classy Game Joe. So if you want to look up my designs on Thingiverse, so you're going to get Command Throw during the Great Twitter Purge.
That's my plan.
That's your plan? I should see if I could find anything good on there. I'm still on there as Planet Arbitrary, at Planet Arbitrary, but I mostly just... use it for like when I have to go through like and find like a specific tweet or something like that, or I'm looking at tweets.
Mm-hmm.
I don't tweet anymore. I found it to be I have not twatted. I found it to be just kind of exhausting to do.
It is tiring.
It is very tiring. And you can listen to our other podcasts. As we mentioned, we have Deconstructing Daycare, and we also have Shin Plan Pod Neo. Ugh. And Steve's gonna be going to a local game store today and buying a shit ton of Tomb Kings.
Nah,
you're not gonna do it.
No,
that one, the Necro Sphinx for $50. That's super cheap.
It's a good deal.
That's a really good deal. I was kind of shocked by that.
I'm sorry. I it'll probably be like the last time I saw something that I really wanted there, which was a bunch of metal plague bearers.
Yeah.
I went in the day after they posted it and they were already gone.
And do you want metal plague bearers? I got metal plague bearers. I have a shit ton of Nurgle demons if you want them. But anyway, we could talk about that later. Because I was literally going through... I had one of those moments where I was working on my Imperial Fists, and I was like, where the fuck are these models? Because I had some models stored, and I had to go through like 18 different boxes to figure out where I had put the models that I was looking for. And that rarely ever happens. I usually have a pretty like good memory about where I put shit.
Mm.
You have to have one when you have as much shit as I do. And I was like, I got really mad and like tore apart my entire office looking for this one box. And it was stored underneath my desk. I have a secret storage compartment in my desk. And it was in the storage compartment in my desk. And I was like, motherfucker, what idiot put it here?
It was me.
I know it was me. But all right, Steve, until episode 300.
Jesus Christ. Kill me now.
Hey. We could be bigger than Pokemon.
Game Classy.
So that maybe our podcast can go up in the rankings and we can actually appear.
That's never
going to
happen.
Well, maybe I would want it to happen.
Not in your most feverish, not in your most intense fever dream.
One day we'll make money doing this podcast. One day.
$3.
$3.
Yeah.
I got you an energy drink, Steve.
Sweet. Thanks, buddy. I really could use this pep in my step.
Anyway.
Who do you think you are, Kevin Smith? So there's like one dude who makes money with podcasts. Kevin Smith. That's it.
And Joe Rogan.
And Joe Rogan.
Fuck Joe Rogan.
I actually went back and listened to the Star Wars podcast because I put it back online. And you actually, I like how you blame all of Star Wars on Kevin Smith. I don't know why that just made me laugh when you said that. You know who I blame for Star Wars? Kevin Smith. Yeah.
Kevin Smith.
Why? Nah, no reason.
Yeah, he's Kevin Smith.
All right. So anyway,
good times.
Next thing.
Poop Zone.
Drop Zone Commanda's got a box set now. This just dropped, I think, yesterday.
That game's been around forever. That game sucks.
It is the heir apparent to Epic. Epic 40K.
It's the poop. Look at those fucking figures. Awful.
I know a lot of people that like the design of Drop Zone Commander. The box set is probably one of the nicest box sets you'll see for the $80 price set. I mean, you get a lot of cool terrain in there. Granted, it's all cardboard, but it looks really, really, really nice.
Awful.
What do you think, Pat? What do you think of those of that terrain? This is the box set right here, and then this is everything you get in there for $80.
All the terrain is cardboard?
Yeah. But keep in mind, 3 Centurions also cost $80.
That's $80?
Yeah, that's $80.
That's value.
Yeah. You get a nice battle mat with it and everything.
I mean, don't get me wrong, that definitely is like $80 well spent compared to Centurions.
Yeah. Centurion Extreme!
Anyone
so
bad.
That? Remember that? Centurions?
The show?
Yeah.
The show Centurions? Yeah.
What are you saying?
What about Visionaries?
Visionaries.
Visionaries harness the power of light. I had a Visionaries lunchbox with a thermos.
Yeah.
Man, that was sweet. I had tomato soup out of that thermos.
I had a Superpowers one.
It's a fucking thermos. You got a problem? We'll fight you.
I had a Superpowers one.
Fight me IRL, bro.
Meanwhile, at the Legion of Doom. We have to figure out a way to pay our taxes this year.
Solomon Grundy no pay taxes. Solomon Grundy cheat IRS by saying Solomon Grundy dead.
How do you think I became evil as the Scarecrow? Through not paying taxes.
Why does the Scarecrow sound like the Monarch?
That's my only villain voice.
It is the de facto villain voice.
Ah, those idiots. They set my car on fire. No, it'd be like, Solomon Grundy has church status. How did this idiot get funded?
I imagine that like a villain going through like a villainous Kickstarter. It's like Kickstarter for supervillains.
Yeah.
It's like Lex Luthor's plan to create a beam to launch the moon farther away from Earth, which will somehow result in Lex Luthor getting 60 cakes. And it's just like 80 billion funded.
60
just, like,
cakes. That's then, a lot of cake.
It's fucking this fucking villain who has a ray gun device that will kill every superhero in the world. Exploits all their weaknesses, not funded, and he's just like,
how did this get funded over my project? Fucking Luthor! Luthor's eating all this cake.
Yeah, he's just eating cake. That's the thing. Luthor does not spend any of the money on the fucking the moon destroying beam. He just buys cake. He's just eating cake. Oh, Lex Luthor.
That son of a bitch took my $10 and bought cake! Well, that just went weird.
The fucking villain voice. You do it all day.
Yeah. As of today, that all has changed. Ark War Games have literally just announced what may be one of the best starter sets currently on the market for any war game. It pretty much is, actually.
It's nice.
I mean,
I can see the appeal in the drop zone stuff.
Yeah.
I don't like it. I think the miniatures offend me. Although there is one of the groups that looked pretty cool. I think they're the clones. They're like, their stuff's all sleek and white.
It looks like Apple computers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, except cool.
I mean, that city terrain would be sweet for some Hot Wheel cars.
you get some rules with those Hot Wheel cars? You gotta roll some dice?
Rules.
Yeah. You know, some dice, see how far they can move?
All right, you came to a four-way stop. Roll.
Roll off. Oh, you blew through the intersection. Your car takes 8 damage, and your driver, dead.
Yeah.
You're out of the game.
And you have state minimum insurance.
You just described Car Wars.
You,